It's worth knowing what's really going on. This is the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Welcome to the premiere episode of our new podcast, Go Atlanta, from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. I'm the AJC's arts and entertainment editor, Shane Harrison. We will be here every Thursday to introduce you to the most interesting people, places, and things to do in and around Atlanta. This will be the podcast to get you ready for the weekend.
I'm food, dining, and living editor, LaGaia Figueres, and I'm here to tell you about my latest Neapolitan pizza find.
I'm Rodney Ho, entertainment reporter. Hear from Tyler Perry on why he waited until now to release his new Netflix film, A Jazz Man's Blues.
Plus, we'll tell you all about a longtime Athens restaurant that's closing and the return of the musician who is probably our most famous part-time Atlanta resident. If you're listening to this podcast on AJC.com, please take a moment to follow us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you'll never miss an episode. This is Go Atlanta from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach, piña colada. You can buy an air freshener to make your car smell like you're in an oceanside paradise. Or, better yet, you can point your car toward Daytona Beach and come experience the real thing. Visit DaytonaBeach.com to discover all there is to see, do, and enjoy along the world's most famous beach, Daytona Beach, Florida. Beach on.
Donald Trump has been indicted in Atlanta.
We have so many court dockets to follow, but we haven't really seen anything yet.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution has covered every moment of this historic case.
I've been writing about this investigation for 2.5 years.
Our team is led by reporters Bill Rankin and Tamar Hallerman. Follow our coverage on AJC.com and listen to new in-depth episodes of the award-winning podcast, Breakdown, The Trump Indictment, only from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
First on this week's podcast, Hot Topics. The Grit in Athens is closing after forever, it seems.
It is closing after forever. And I have to tell you, when we found out about it, I must have received like 8 emails from colleagues at the AJC. So many folks here at the paper attended UGA, right, and this was a hangout for them. So we definitely learned about it fast and jumped on it. But yes, the Grit in Athens is closing. It's going to be closing. The last day is October 7th. Now, I didn't attend, you know, UGA, so the Grit isn't a beloved in my heart, but I understand how dear it is to folks. It's been around for 36 years.
Yeah.
And
it was a big deal to have a vegetarian restaurant in the 80s. That was probably cutting edge.
I was going to say, well, apparently it was for a long time the only vegetarian
that
restaurant.
Sounds about right.
So, wow. Yeah. And, you know, we have talked before about reasons that some restaurants are and bars are closing these days. And this one, again, pandemic induced, you know, they just couldn't make it through. And they actually did say, you know, it's throughout pandemic, they tried to stay open slower than normal summer, which is what we've seen restaurants experience, sluggish entrance into fall. And, you know, ultimately, they shuttered. Now, the owner, her name is Jessica Green, and she is going to be opening another restaurant next door to the Grit. It's called Poquito's Taqueria. That's going to be open in a few weeks. So, you know, maybe like, it's not the Grit, but...
It's sad. I mean, it's something that's been around that long. I mean, I haven't been there in literally probably decades. And I didn't, you know.
Okay, then you're partially to blame too. All you people who are moaning and groaning who haven't gone to the Grit in decades. Yeah. Well.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't get to Athens that much. It's like anytime I go there, it's usually to see a concert or something, you know. And so we would go to the Grit occasionally, but it's rare. But it makes me worry about, you know, other places that have been around a long time that I do go to often and try to go more often because I worry about them closing.
Right, you know? Because they might not get the support.
Yeah.
So, well, folks have until October 7th to drive up to Athens and, you know, get their fill of vegetarian.
Yeah.
Vegan.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's another thing. It's like, you know, we do have a lot of vegetarian places, I guess, but there still aren't places like the Grit, I guess. And that makes me sad. I mean, I'm not a vegetarian, but I love to have that option when I want it.
Right. Well, but I mean, Athens' food scene has continued to develop and evolve. And, you know, there's some terrific restaurants there. So, you know, we'll see. See what happens in the coming weeks. And
yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. Bad news. But, you know, life goes on. And you, there are plenty of places to eat around Athens. I love some. Kalantitos, I love. There are lots of places that are really great in Athens and here. So, get on out to the Grit if you want to experience it one more time. We wanted to talk about our famous part-time Atlanta resident who was just here.
Sir Elton John.
Yeah. Seems like that's the thing that it's like that adjective, it's like descriptor, part-time Atlanta resident. When you say that,
Elton John
pops into your head.
Yeah, it's funny. And he's been going on a farewell tour for, right. But because of the pandemic, it seems like 5 years, but I think
it
was already a planned 3 year tour. And back in 2019, I did a concert review of his, you know, when he was here at State Farm in November. And I wrote, my headline said, a still potent Elton John says this is it in Atlanta, but I guess not.
Yeah.
Cause he came back to Mercedes-Benz last week for what he says will truly be the final performance. So.
Right.
Were you there?
I could not make it. So we brought in an intern.
Taylor Croft, our intern.
Who was not remotely alive when most of its kids came out.
Yeah, yeah, it's great. And I thought it would be fun to have someone younger, you know, cover the show because, you know.
He now transcends decades. He's
got hits with timeless.
Yeah, you know, he's got hits with Taylor Swift and Dua Lipa now. I mean, he's.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like, you know, when I talked to her about doing it, she was like, oh, yeah, I you know, I know his music, but mostly my parents. You know, her parents were...
Maybe her grandparents at this point.
Could be.
this point, it's been that long.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, he was here. It was apparently quite the spectacle.
Yeah, my Facebook feed, you know, since it's of my age, you know, was packed on Thursday night with pictures from that concert because I couldn't make it.
Yeah, I noticed that too. There are certain shows that come to town... And you know, like so many of your friends went because you see it in the Facebook feed or Instagram or whatever. It's like everybody's there.
Yeah, he still has his. I think he still has his penthouse in Buckhead.
Yeah,
but he's like never there.
Well, yeah, because you know, ever since he started dating David Furnish, he lived here for quite a while. I guess when he was dating somebody here in the '90s, he was here a lot.
He was.
That is one celebrity sighting I would love to.
Yeah,
happen. I mean, he used to go to the Buckhead Diner. He was always.
Oh, he was a regular at Tower Records.
Yeah, every Tuesday they would cart out all the new releases for him, and he would spend. You know, $1,000 a week, you know, probably, you know, in a blink of an eye, he would literally just buy everything.
For young folks, Tuesday used to be the release day for those sort of things.
Tower Records was a really famous retail store.
It's now Friday, but it used to be Tuesday. Friday makes a lot more sense to me, but I don't know. I don't know why it was Tuesday, but I'm sure there was a reason for it. Elton would show up there all the time. And
yeah, he played tennis. He was all over the place.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But yeah, he was here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It was apparently quite the show. We have gallery photos. We have our review from our intern, Taylor Croft. So you can go and check that out. But yeah, that was it was just great to see all the photos of regular people, too.
Yeah, and I'm glad he still can sing. Not every artist at that age can still belt it out. So he apparently still has his voice, which helps.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah, because there have been some recent examples of people who gotten a lot of flack for Rod Stewart, I think, did a big show over in
the UK. I was there. I mean, he wasn't terrible, but okay. He held up.
Yeah, I mean, specifically recently he did some show
in
the UK.
John Bon Jovi, I heard, was really bad.
Yeah, where it was, you know, apparently not great, but, you know, when people age, they lose their voice sometimes.
Some days they have good days, sometimes
I know
how I do. His appearance, Rod, was good enough. Let's just say that. It was enough. It wasn't terrible. He held up.
High praise indeed.
Well, we had to, you know, grade him on a curve of being where he's at. So he was okay.
Yeah. Well, one other hot topic we wanted to talk about. There's a series called Rockabye Baby. Is that right?
Yes.
And they've been for many, many years doing lullaby versions of popular songs by popular artists.
Adele, Beatles, you name the artist. And now they've actually, you know, they'll run into hip hop, and they did Outkast, which is interesting. You know, Outkast's lyrics are obviously very edgy at times. So Since these are lullabies, you don't have to worry about the lyrics. You don't have to listen to Roses. You can do a lullaby version of Roses and not worry about the lyrics for a little infant, I guess.
Yeah, they have to. I'm sure there's some censorship going on the...
I mean, the whole concept is a little weird because you're trying to get the child to go to sleep. So you got to do the sleepiest versions of hit songs, which is a little bit weird to me.
Okay, let's hear you do one.
No, I'm not going to even try. Hey Ya is supposed to be a raver, right? And yet they have to do a lullaby version of Hey Ya, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's more interesting when they have to do things like that. I mean, Adele, you can just put on Adele and put somebody to sleep. It's
you don't need the lullaby version.
No,
you need
I love Adele. Don't get me wrong. I love her, but boy, it is, you know, a downer sometimes to listen to Adele. And I'm sure
SNL's done some skits on that.
Yeah.
Very, you know, if you're in a breakup mode, listen to Adele.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's some depressing stuff. That's for sure. But yeah, Outkast as a lullaby, which no one ever thought would happen. But it has. And you can check that out. Rodney did a post on that on the Georgia Entertainment Scene blog, which you can check out on AJC.com. And you can check out some other Rockabye Baby releases. They've been doing it for many years now. So it's entirely possible that your favorite artist has been done as a lullaby. This is the new Go Atlanta from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach. An air freshener can make your car smell like paradise. A drive to Daytona Beach will actually get you there. Beach on. Plan your trip today at DaytonaBeach.com.
I'm Ernie Suggs.
And I'm Ned Ravone. Atlanta has been known as the Black Mecca for so many years, but that means something different to everybody.
It means everything to me. Every day I wake up, I learn something new.
Well, you all can learn something new by subscribing to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's new newsletter called Unapologetically ATL. It's all about the people, the events, and the entertainment happening in Metro Atlanta that Black people might want to know about.
So subscribe today at www.ajc.com/unapologeticallyATL.
We're back on the brand new Go Atlanta from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And next up, we're going to talk about what's new, some of the things that we've written about this week. And first up, we wanted to talk to Rodney about Tyler Perry, who he got to talk to about his new slash old film, right?
Yeah, this is his third film on Netflix. The first one, Fall from Grace, was kind of a big drama. And then he did a Madea Homecoming, pure comedy. This is a historical drama that he's never done historical anything before. But what's interesting is that this screenplay, he actually wrote 27 years ago.
Wow.
He was still just a broke screenwriter. He had to sneak into plays at Alliance Theater by going in during the halftime break, intermission break, and sneak in with the smokers.
Yeah.
And he went to an August Wilson play, and he said he stuck around for the post reception, and he went up to August Wilson and got some advice from August about, you know, what he needed to do next. And August just gave him probably a fairly trite type of advice, you know, write from your heart. And he actually took it to heart, and he wrote A Jazz Man's Blues, which is about, you know, it's kind of a Shakespearean type young couple who get torn apart, but set in the 1940s. At the time, he wrote it out of Louisiana, since he's from Louisiana, but he moved the film to Savannah, similar to Louisiana. And basically, the woman can pass for white, and she ended up, like, her family, they got split apart, and she moved to Boston, and she came back into town, married to a white man, like, 10 years later. And, of course, you know, that's a taboo thing back in the late 40s for her being quote white and him being black, and they get together and things don't go well, you can imagine. So
so the Shakespearean tragedy doesn't usually go well.
And you know, he it's fairly hinted early on, you kind of know what's going to happen. But Tyler, you know, I think, you know, he's going for more respectability, I think, in this situation. I think because typically his past movies, he's just kind of focus on his audience. And I spoke with him for a few minutes before a screening last week at Colony Square at IPIC Cinema. And, you know, he explained to me why he was doing it now, why this was an important time for him to release the film.
Unfortunately, the timing lined up in a not so great way, meaning that we are at a place in our country where there are certain figures in politics who are trying to water down the history of the Black experience in America, what we've endured, what we've come through, the pains and horrors of Jim Crow and slavery and so on and so forth, by the banning of books and the homogenizing of our pain. So I thought, even though this is...
And as a creative person, that just must be horrifying to you,
horrifying,
too.
Yeah. Especially living in Atlanta and knowing John Lewis and Andy Young and knowing the Dr. King and all the spirit and the energy and the soul of these men and women who pushed through to change civil rights. I just had to say something in my own way. And as I was thinking about it, I thought, you know, Jazz Man is something I could do.
So did he sit on it for decades, or did he work to continue to shape it, like one thinks of like a novel takes forever?
He kind of sat on it. I think he tried to work on it a little bit in the 90s, and then he just, you know, the Madea stuff, all that stuff kind of took over, and he wanted to keep doing kind of what worked for him, what he was most comfortable with, and what could build him up to what he's essentially a billionaire now. Now that he's a billionaire, he can kind of afford to like do a project like this and get it to Netflix. So he felt like this was just the right time. He actually wanted to be cast as like the main lead back in the 90s, because the guy's 17 in the beginning and then 27. But Tyler says, you know, I'm 53, and he wanted Halle Berry to be like the female lead. Yeah, he had a lot of ambitions back in the 90s. So he brought in some newcomers to be the leads.
That's cool. Okay, so I have to put Jazzman's Blues on my Netflix list.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So great. Yeah, Tyler Perry, Jazzman's Blues, it's available on Netflix now. So you can just go out there and watch it anytime. I love streaming.
Same.
And this week, our restaurant review is Sunnyside Pizza in Sandy Springs.
Sunnyside Pizzeria, Sandy Springs. Yeah. So they opened in July. And for folks who are, you know, trying to picture where it is in Sandy Springs, it's in the Sandy Springs, the Sandy Landing Shopping Center near City Springs. So it's very close. I mean, pretty much like right by City Hall.
Yeah.
It's owned by two people, David G. and Sonny Sun. And they are first-time restaurant operators. And the specialty here is Neapolitan-style pizza. Mm. All right. So... just right away, I want to tell you what my favorite pick there is, because this pizza really is worth driving for. Now, it's worth driving for if you live within like 7 miles. Okay. I would drive 7 miles. I wouldn't drive more than that. And it's the hot honey char. It's really good. So it's this lovely balance of like savory and sweet and salty and spicy. It's got pepperoni. The pepperoni is wonderfully, the cupping there, you know, where you've got like the char part, right? And then the oil that's like all rendered and whatnot. There's dabs of ricotta on it and then the hot honey. So it's really, that's a terrific topping combination. I did have some issues, however, with their crust. So Neapolitan, these are 12-inch pizzas. Personally, I mean, we could think of it as a personal pizza if you want to. But, mm-hmm. I mean, if you're going with somebody easily, you can, you know, share.
Yeah.
And the pizzas are, I mean, they've got their wood-fired oven, but it wasn't, sometimes it wasn't charred. I would actually say burnt. And there's a difference, because burnt, you're going to have that acrid taste.
Yeah.
The other thing is, a Neapolitan pizza should be both soft, you know, and chewy, but there needs to be the crispy element at the same time. It's both at the same time. And this one didn't always nail it. Yeah. And one of my biggest problems was when I tried for takeout, because if you're going to have pizza and you also offer online ordering and your, you know, delivery through third party delivery services, I'm going to try it that way too. And that was a disappointment. So I ended up quickly scarfing down some pieces in my car because I wanted to give them the benefit of the doubt, but it was barely hot when I arrived and picked them up. I'm like, I was told the exact pickup time, you know? So my feeling is dine in there. Terrific. If I think that it has potential to be a really nice neighborhood pizzeria for folks in Sandy Springs.
Yeah.
And I mean, they have beer and wine. It's really casual. I will recommend something else that is a really fun dessert, and it's super cheap. It's $8. It would easily feed like a table of four. So let's mom, dad, two kids even. It's family friendly. And it's fried pizza dough.
Yeah.
And it gets, I know. Okay. It's a zeppole, right? So just think of them almost like donut holes, right? And so you get powdered sugar and drizzles of Nutella and caramel sauce. And it's a massive bowl of it.
Yeah.
So that was a fun way to finish. They will be offering gelato, I think, starting in November. They need to figure out, they need to finish, finalize their recipe development on those before they launch. So, yeah. So, and by the way, they had some really nice pastas. They're not making their pastas there, but they're buying them fresh local from a maker here. And they treat them with respect. The bolognese was really nice. So, yeah, so there you go. It's called Sunnyside Pizzeria, Sandy Springs.
I'm very intrigued by the hot honey.
The hot honey char.
That sounds really good.
Super satisfying. They just nailed it in terms of like the balance and the textures and the flavors.
Yeah, because I love things that are sweet and salty together. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Try Sunnyside Pizza in Sandy Springs, especially if you're in the neighborhood. And speaking of Sandy Springs, there's a band coming to Sandy Springs, and they've been around for quite a long time.
Yeah, they're named Kansas, which is kind of funny. They came from Topeka, Kansas, yeah, back in the early 70s, but the band members actually moved to Atlanta in the late 70s after mm-hmm. Carry On, Wayward Son and Dust in the Wind became hits, in part because they started dating, like, flight attendants and women, and Atlanta obviously had a lot of flight attendants back in the day and still do.
Yeah.
It became very convenient from a touring perspective, and the town was a lot of fun. They, you know, they'd hang out at Alex Cooley's Electric Ballroom.
Right.
So they ended up coming here. And I interviewed Rich Williams. He lived here for over 40 years and only moved to North Carolina to like a retirement type spot, semi-retirement. He's not really retired, but just a quieter spot in North Carolina a couple years ago. Yeah. But he lived right up the street from Sandy Springs. He said he watched that Byers Theater at Sandy Springs Performing Arts Center actually get built.
Right.
So it's, he's always looking forward to coming back. I mean, he says they literally just tour perpetually. They just do 80 dates a year. They just constantly tour. Because why not? If you're still healthy and two of the original members are still there, as long as you can still do it.
Well, I mean, the thing is, back then, it's like the record deals that these people got, they don't get a whole lot of...
He probably does okay on the songwriting for the both songwriting, Carry On, Wayward Son, and Dust in the Wind. Yeah, both Dust in the Wind and Carry On still get played constantly on the river and
if you
all
got,
the classic
if you got a songwriting
rock stations.
Credit, that's different. But yeah, you don't get much in royalties from record sales or anything like that.
Right, correct.
A lot of musicians have to tour, basically, to make money.
I think they like to tour. And, the lead singer retired in 2014, so they brought in a new guy who was in a cover band and loved Kansas. So kind of like Foreigner and a bunch of the other bands like Journey, they've got a sub lead. But I think for Kansas, I don't think people knew the lead singer so well that it was that important.
Well, I mean, I do.
You do. But, okay, fair enough.
Of course you do.
But Steve Walsh, I mean, he had a distinctive voice. And I actually saw Kansas back in the late 70s. So,
Where? Did you see him at Alex Cooley's Electric
Ballroom? No, I didn't. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe it was at Little John Coliseum in Clemson, South Carolina.
Oh, nice. Okay.
I think that's where it was. I couldn't be sure. I'm pretty sure it was the Point of No Return tour, which they had some hits off of that one too.
Yes. One interesting thing is Ronnie Platt. He says they rehearse like for 60 to 90 minutes before the concert. They're that intense. So I got to give respect them for working on their craft, even though they could theoretically phone it in at this point, but it sounds like they don't. They really do care about making sure this really complicated progressive rock music sounds just right.
Yeah.
So that's great. So whatever you hear on Friday, it's well practiced. They're prepared and they're ready.
And I'm sure that everyone will hear the hits because, that's,
but of course,
that's why they came.
That's why they came. And, bands like Kansas, they know that.
They're aware. They have several and, they'll blend it in with some deep cuts because they've got fans who like those too. So it's,
I mean, a couple of those 70s albums are awesome. Leftover Tour, which is the one that has
that was the breaking. Yeah, that was the one that made a difference for them.
Yeah, yeah. There was a run there where they had several really, really good albums. So. Yeah, so Kansas will be coming to the Sandy Springs Performing Arts Center, the Byers Theater there, Friday. Also, wanted to mention that the Decatur Book Festival is happening this weekend. It's a little different.
Yeah, it used to be a whole weekend, right?
It did, and it used to be Labor Day.
Yes.
They moved it, did they move it before the pandemic? I can't recall. I think there was talk about moving it because of the convergence of events that were happening that weekend.
A lot of competition.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't necessarily overlap a lot, maybe Dragon Con or whatever, but...
No, I know they didn't move it before the pandemic because I had to go there year after year because we had the culinary stage, and that's not something that they're doing.
Yeah, the agency is the sponsor.
Well, no, I don't think they... But it seems like... maybe I'm wrong, but it seems like they had talked about it before
happened.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
You're right. I recall the discussion about it.
The idea that they were tossing around.
Yeah, okay. Because of that, they were planning on moving, much the same way that Atlanta Pride used to be in June, which is Pride Month in general, but because Atlanta is blazing hot in June, they moved it to October. I've noticed a lot of other places have moved it around too, the Decatur Book Festival is back and in person this year, but it is shorter. Most of the events are happening on Saturday, October 1st.
Yeah.
We have a preview story, that's in Thursday's paper, and also online at AJC.com. So you can go and check that out. Find out who's going to be where.
Yeah, and since I'm big on promotion here anyway, we've got Ernie Suggs, Mike Lukovich, and Greg Bluestein. They're all going to be in one panel at 9:30 a.m.
Well, if this is on Saturday, is this some of the stuff outside? What's going to happen?
I think a lot of them are inside, but there are
tents outside, right? Like
there are related events and things like that. So
might be bring your umbrellas.
Yeah. We do have to talk about the elephant in the room, which is Ian, which is headed our way. Well, not really headed our way.
It's going to be a little bit east of us, I think.
Yeah. We
might get a little rain. That's the thing.
Yeah. At last check. Yeah. I think, the outer edges, we're probably going to get a lot of rain. So, whatever you plan to do this weekend, definitely check with, the organizers, check websites. Keep up with what's going on because
I'm a little bit bummed because this coming weekend I was supposed to go out to the Georgia coast because there's a nonprofit event fundraiser that's happening called Firebox. And that's sort of like for same people know the name Giving Kitchen here in Atlanta that started in Atlanta. It's for food service workers and they offer them financial support and other types of resources when they're facing unexpected hardship. And so this is sort of similar group, but separate. And it was actually started by the guys who founded Southern Soul Barbecue. Anyway, this was their fifth year. It's a big fundraiser. That's a barbecue, bringing in all these great names. And they've had to cancel that. Yeah. So darn it. I'll have to,
That's really sad. To. Yeah. When especially something, that was supposed to benefit a nonprofit and it sounds really cool. And anytime you get a lot of barbecue people together, that's kind of awesome.
Oh, I know. Exactly. So I'll just have to, put that on my calendar for next
time. That's too bad. So again, check with folks. We'll have some updates. Of course, we've got reporters out there following the weather right now. Some of our photographers, as we just heard, have been hurricane chasing. So yeah, we'll have all the coverage of Hurricane Ian and how it's going to impact us here and on the Georgia coast as things develop. So check AJC.com for that. And I wanted to mention some things that are coming up in Go Guide and our Sunday Living and Art section. This week's Go Guide cover is about apple picking, which is really cool. It's so much fun to go and pick your own apples. And we'll be talking more about that in next week's podcast and some other fall fun things. And speaking of fall, the next week after that, we're going to be telling you where to see fall foliage here in North Georgia. And in the Sunday Living and Art section coming up, we'll have a look at Children's Healthcare of Atlanta's therapy dogs, which we've done a few times in the past, but it's been a while. And it's always a great story. I love the tales of their therapy dogs and how they help the kids there.
No pun intended, the tales.
So, speaking of dogs, our pet of the week is Bone. And Bone is ready to accept any toys that you want to give him, although he prefers one that squeaks. He'll thank you for the toys by giving you lots of big kisses, and he loves when you cuddle back. 2-year-old Bone has a happy demeanor and is excited to be by your side. He's also dog-friendly and seems cat-friendly, too. phone is available to adopt or foster from the Lifeline Community Animal Center at 3180 Presidential Drive in Atlanta. And we'll have a link to Bone's adoption profile and a photo of him on our story page for this podcast. Thanks for listening to our debut episode of Go Atlanta. We release new episodes every Thursday morning to keep you in the loop of all the great things that Atlanta has to offer, whether it involves planning an outing or just giving you something to talk about with friends and family. So be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. For more things to do in and around Atlanta, go to ajc.com. Thanks as always to Rodney Ho.
Thank you so much, Shane.
And to LaGaya Figueres.
Thank you.
And I'm Shane Harrison, and we'll talk to you again next week for more ways to go Atlanta.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach, piña colada. You can buy an air freshener to make your car smell like you're in an oceanside paradise. Or, better yet, you can point your car toward Daytona Beach and come experience the real thing. Visit DaytonaBeach.com to discover all there is to see, do, and enjoy along the world's most famous beach, Daytona Beach, Florida. Beach on.